Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. If you weren't here last week, there was an insert in the bulletin about why we're studying 1 John, and they're on the back table if you would like to pick one up, and also why we're going to study Isaiah 40 in the evening. So kind of starting two new sermon series for the summer. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we bow before you this morning, knowing that we must hear from you, that you must guide and direct us by your word if we are to live for you, if we are to be pleasing to you, if we are to enjoy fellowship with you, we must listen to your word and trust it and obey it. And I pray that you would speak into our hearts today and that we would listen to you. I pray that we would have the attitude of Samuel and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So we're listening today, and I pray we as your sheep that we would hear your voice and we would follow you. Thank you that you are a good shepherd. You are the good shepherd, and I pray that you would direct us and keep us and protect us in this life. We as Christians and we as a church, that you would protect us. So we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to sit under your word, and I pray that we would love it. In Jesus' name, amen. John 17, verse 3 says this, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You were made to know God. God created you, if you're a human being, to enjoy fellowship with Him. The only way we can do that as sinners is through Jesus Christ. So through fellowship with Christ, we can enjoy the fellowship with the triune God, and that's why we were made. If you're not enjoying fellowship with God, you're not enjoying the purpose for which God created you and saved you. And John the Apostle wants his readers to enjoy fellowship with God. And I want each one of you to enjoy fellowship with God. And that's why one of the main reasons is that why we're studying the book of 1 John. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." That eternal life, it's not just an escape from hell. It is fellowship with the God of the universe. So we need God to awaken our hearts and say, "This is the highest purpose for which I exist, is to know and fellowship with God." For us, and for the readers of 1 John, we cannot grow in that fellowship with God unless we know we are saved, unless we know, have assurance of our salvation. Without assurance of our salvation, we cannot grow in fellowship with God. So as we start this letter to 1 John, I want each one of you to understand and to grow in your assurance of your salvation so that you will enjoy fellowship with God. The question is, why does John assure his readers of their eternal life? Why does he have to do that? And the easy answer is false teachers. False teachers had left the churches that John was writing to and were circulating their false teachings around the area into the churches. And this false teaching was upsetting and confusing the believers. So John rejects the false teaching on one hand, and then on the other hand reassures his readers that they are really saved. So it's a kind of twofold purpose: reject false teaching and reassure the readers. You want to break down the book of 1 John very easily? There are three ways we can know we are saved, three ways we can reject false teaching, three signs. These aren't mine. It's from John Stott, commentator. The first is a theological or a truth sign or test. That is, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God come in the flesh. We must believe that if we claim to be Christians. Number two, a moral sign. You must live a righteous life, denying sin and living for Jesus Christ. And thirdly, a social sign. You love other Christians. So that we're going to see those repeated in 1 John. We're going to see it again and again. You must believe a certain truth to be a Christian. You must live a certain way in your character and actions, and you must love your fellow Christians. We'll see those over and over again in 1 John. Now, please do not think that these are ways to earn salvation. They are not. They're ways that we can know that God has saved us. So that's kind of the overview of 1 John. 2 points before we launch into the first four verses. Number one, I'm assuming the author of the letter is the Apostle John. It doesn't say who penned this letter. But as we look at the language and the terms and the words, it's very similar to the Gospel of John, which is written by the Apostle John. Now, when you some of the commentators, you read them, and they look at 1 John and say, it looks like a duck, it swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, so it must be a catfish. And that's how they approach 1 John, saying, well, it looks like John wrote it, but it doesn't say so. You kind of have to use some sanctified reason when you look at 1 John. So I'm assuming that the Apostle John wrote it. Number two. The language of 1 John. The language of 1 John is like see, spot, run in Greek. You know those children's books? See, spot, run. Jill jumped up and ran into the house. The Greek is that easy. So a lot of first-year students are translating 1 John. Now, and it comes across in English. It's very simple. God is love. God is light. It doesn't mean it's easy to understand by any means. It just means the actual language is simple. So you might read in 1 John, see, spot, run. But you wonder if seeing is with the eyes or with the heart. Or you wonder if Spot is a dog. And if so, what kind of dog he is and if he has any spots. And you're wondering if he is running, is that a fast walk or a trot? And how long is Spot running? So those are the kind of questions that will pop in your mind when you read 1 John. There's going to be some very in-your-face claims about God and the Christian life. And I hope that all of us will look at it closely and question the text and question our own lives and ask God to lead us to the truth. So let's jump in. 1 John 1, 1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Simply, the 2 points for today are this. There's a message that brings fellowship, and then there's a message that is a person. So first, a message that brings fellowship. And we're going to start with verses 3 and 4, because the main verb is in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we. So that's the main verb of verses 1 to 3. John says, I declare this message unto you. And it's about Jesus Christ. But first, it's a message that brings fellowship. And if you look in verse 3, we declare this message unto you so that, for the purpose of that we may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John wants you to have fellowship with one another and with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why he proclaims this message. So first, fellowship with believers. Fellowship is a word we like to toss around, but what is it? Fellowship is sharing in common something together. You share values, you share truth, you share life together, you work for the same cause, you share those things in common. And that's the only way you can have a true relationship with other believers, if you share this message of Jesus Christ. We get together and we can talk about things we have in common, like hunting or schoolwork or things like that. But what brings us together as Christians truly is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message about Jesus Christ. So the only way that John could have fellowship with his readers is saying you must believe the same message that we proclaim. Someone claims to be a Christian, does not believe the message, you can't have Christian fellowship with them. You can talk to them, but you don't share in common the most important person in the world, Jesus Christ. So this message brings fellowship with believers, and it also brings fellowship with Jesus Christ. So the same message that brings us together as a church, truly, spiritually, is the same message that connects you with God. It's not a mystical thing. You must believe the message. 1 John 2:24 says this, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." The message must be believed for you to have fellowship with God. So that amazing purpose for which we were made to know God, that cannot come about unless you believe the message about Jesus Christ. There is no other way to have that fellowship, that relationship with God. If you claim to know God, you must believe the message. Verse 4 says this, "And these things," so this message, this whole book, really, as he's writing it, "and these things write we unto you, that your," put on your Bible, some of your Bibles say, our joy may be full. And that's how I'm going to take it. The King James has your. Other translations have our. I think that's a better reading of the Greek manuscripts. So John is writing these things for his joy. The only way John's going to be happy, we'll put it this way, is for his readers to have fellowship with him and with God. That's amazing, isn't it? He says, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth." I believe that's 3 John. This is important. We can have joy when we share the gospel message. It's amazing the connection you have with childhood friends. You know, you grew up in school together, all 12 grades, or college friends. The connection that you have with those kind of people. And you might not see each other for 5-10 years, but when you get back together, it's like old times. And you have a special connection. Because what? You share something in common. And I have friends from college in Kentucky and in California and I keep in contact with them, and when we get together, sometimes at a conference, it's like picking up from college, and we have deep fellowship around Jesus Christ, because not only do we share Christ in common, but we share 3.5 years in the dormitory together, and those experiences, however good or bad they may be, do draw us together. We can have joy. John wants to have joy when he fellowships with these other believers. And I want you to have joy when you have Christian fellowship with one another. So this message that he proclaims gives us fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. It must be an important message. So number two, a message that is a person. All those, you start in verse 1, that which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, all those witches and that witches, all those are the things that he is proclaiming. So what is he proclaiming? He's proclaiming verse 1 and 2, a message about Jesus Christ. And as you carefully read verses 1 and 2, you may wonder, is John talking about a person? Or is he talking about a message? Yes. It's a person who is the message of John. Jesus Christ is his message. So firstly, Jesus, the Son of God. Look carefully what John says in the first two verses about Jesus. It says that he is from the beginning. From before time began, Jesus Christ existed as God. He is the Word of life. The Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. That is God. God's self, Christ is the self-expression of God. He is the Word of God. So you want to know what God looks like? Look at Jesus Christ. He is the Word. He is life. He is eternal life. He was from the very beginning, before time began. Jesus Christ existed, and he gives life to those who believe in him. And it says that he was with the Father. As the Son, he was in close relationship with the Father. Those are some important claims about Jesus Christ. And John writes later in the letter, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is God of very God. And that's the truth claim of John's message. If you believe the gospel, if you claim to be a Christian, you must believe that Jesus is God. If you don't, you are not a Christian. And that's the message that John says in his letter. So the first part of the message is that Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Word. He is life. He is eternal. Number two, we must believe that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is the amazing message of Christianity. God, very God, took on our human nature. Look what John says. We have seen him. How many times does he say that? Three times. It's quite important. We have seen Jesus with our very eyes. Our hands have touched him. John says, we touched God. How many of you have seen the Declaration of Independence in person? Any of you? A few have seen it in person. I don't believe I have. I've been to D.C., but it was so long ago, I don't think I see the Declaration of Independence in person. You can see it online, see pictures. How many of you have touched it? Yeah, I don't think even people touch it without gloves these days. The actual copy is quite faded. You can barely read it because it hasn't been preserved correctly from the 1700s. That document, it was fingered by the framers of our nation. They touched that document as they put their signatures on it. That document. You can see it. You could almost touch it, except it's like behind inches of bulletproof glass. But that document, it would be quite impressive to meet someone that says, I touched it with my bare hands. I'm assuming people have, but not recently. John says, we touched Jesus. He's real. He was really human. He didn't just appear to be human. He was human. He was real. And we testify to it. And the great mystery of Christ's coming is that God took on flesh. He was fully God, fully human, yet without sin in one person. And that is a mystery that we can't wrap our minds around. And when John teaches this about Jesus, that he's God and that he's human, he wards off two false teachings. And we'll see this throughout the letter. He wards off the false teaching that Jesus is not fully God, that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he was created. Some people believe that Jesus was created. And that heresy has been around for 2,000 years and continues to be proclaimed by some cults and some churches. And the other false teaching is that Jesus is not fully human. He just appeared to be human. And there's other heresies that go along with that. And John says, no. My hand that penned this letter, it's the same hand that touched Jesus. So Jesus is fully God and fully human. So two points of application. First, the gospel is theological and historical. The gospel is theological and historical. There are people and churches today that deny that the gospel has what we call truth claims to it. The gospel has specific truths that must be believed in order to be saved. In 1 John, it says, Jesus is fully God, eternal with the Father. If you deny that, you're not a Christian. You don't have fellowship with God. When we read the accounts of Jesus' life, we think about he was an incredible teacher. He went around and did good for people. But it's more than that. The gospel is Jesus, the Son of God, taking our sins upon himself on the cross and rising victorious. So beware of churches that are not clear on the truth claims of the gospel. Beware of people who claim to be Christians but do not believe the claims of the Bible when it comes to Jesus Christ. So the gospel is specific truth claims, but the gospel is also an historical reality. Christ really lived on this earth 30 years ago. He walked the dusty roads of Israel. He worked with his hands. He slept at night, and he trained on an unruly group of disciples. There are people who saw Jesus die on the cross. There are people that saw the blood and water come out of his side. There are people who saw Jesus eat fish after he was raised from the dead. One of the Gospels says that. He ate a piece of fish to show them that he was indeed real and had a human body. And some of those people wrote down their eyewitness accounts of seeing Jesus and hearing him speak, and we have those today for us. Beware of churches that do not claim the historical reality of Jesus Christ. They might say the resurrection of Jesus, but they think it's a spiritual thing that happened and that Jesus did not literally, physically rise from the dead. There are people that say that Jesus was born, but they don't believe in the virgin birth. So we have to be very careful that people might use the same language that we use, but they don't mean the same things when they say that. So Jesus died and rose again. Those are real things that happen on this earth. And we must believe that to believe the gospel. So the gospel has truth claims, and it really happened. Very important for us to believe. Number two, The gospel is the only way we can have fellowship. 1 John is very clear. The only way that we can know God and fellowship with Him is by believing the message about His Son, Jesus Christ. Specific truths about Jesus Christ. If you do not believe that teaching, you do not belong to God. That's very in your face, but 1 John 4, verse 6 says this. We are of God. John talking about himself. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's a pretty in-your-face claim. He says if people don't listen to us, they aren't Christians and they don't know God. There are churches around us that have abandoned the historical claims of Christianity, clearly written in the Bible. And when we encounter that, we don't just say, oh, they believe differently than we do. No, they believe falsehood and error. When it comes to the deity of Jesus Christ and the historical reality of his resurrection, churches who do not hold these truths are not true churches, and Christians do not hold to those truths are not truly Christians. They do not belong to God. So John draws a line in the sand. He says, you must believe our message or you're not of God. It's not popular today. Now, churches might do things differently than we do. They might have different music or different sanctuary or et cetera, et cetera. But churches that preach that a different gospel are not true churches. They do not belong to God. So we can't have Christian fellowship with people and churches that deny the gospel truths. It's impossible. We can't have fellowship with them, and they can't have fellowship with the Father. And that's where our movement came from, fundamentalism, if you want to put it that way. Every movement has its flaws, but fundamentalism at its core has this. They said, people who deny the truth of the gospel, we can't have Christian fellowship with. So over 50 years ago, this church was formed over that understanding, and many other churches across America saying, we can't fellowship with you truly because you don't believe the same truth that we do. So we're not talking about some obscure point of eschatology. We're talking about the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, and his physical resurrection. If you deny those, you deny the gospel. You may say, well, all that is good, and I understand that. I understand the truth. But let's get it, take it more personal to where you are in your Christian lives. The Apostle John's desire for his readers, and my desire for you, I want you to have close fellowship with God. That's why you were made. And that's going to bring you the most joy in life, to have fellowship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we don't fellowship with God by sitting still in a room and waiting for God's voice to pop into our head. That's not how we do it. We open the scriptures and read the truth about Jesus Christ. There are some popular books out today that account a person's thoughts that they heard from God, apart from his word, and this person penned them down and is selling millions of copies. That is not true fellowship with God because it's not based on his word. John says, there's a message that we proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship with us and with the Father. So the way for you to have close fellowship with God, this is why you were made, is to have his word. Enjoy the person of Christ by hearing the words of Christ. And that's for you going home this week. Enjoy that fellowship that God has made you for by enjoying and listening to the voice of Jesus Christ in his word. Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you today for your goodness, for revealing us to yourselves in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're grateful that we can have fellowship with you, that you have redeemed us. And I pray that we would love to hear the voice of our good shepherd. We would listen to him and follow him. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.